Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is Ruth chapter 1. What's going on here? What do you think you are doing? Words of fear, of anger, discouragement, perhaps despair. Words spoken by someone whose life seems unfair, out of control. Words at times spoken to God or at God. Words that could very well have been Naomi's words. Because this is the view from within, the inside view of Naomi's life, her existence, the inside view in the appointed text, Ruth chapter 1. It's true that we don't explicitly have the words that I have suggested, but we do have these words from Naomi. The hand of Yahweh has gone forth against me. And in the verses immediately following, we hear her voice again. Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but Yahweh has brought me back empty. The name Naomi is related to the Hebrew word for pleasant. The name Mara means bitter. What do you think you're doing? Naomi and her husband leave the land of Israel, and they go with their two sons to dwell in the fields of Moab with the idolaters. While they are there, her husband dies, and as the text poignantly declares, she was left. And then the widow's two sons marry two idolaters. And then the sons die, widowed, bereft of her offspring, with two Moabite daughters-in-law. And yes, there's a wonderful love between Naomi on the one hand and Orpah and Ruth on the other. And yes, there is a moving scene at the end of this text where you go, I will go, your people, your God, my God. But that leaves us with questions. A deep love between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law is a wonderful thing, but isn't that a strange reason to switch religions? The inside view of this text is not a pretty picture. Naomi does not know what is going on. She can only see that her life is difficult and filled with sadness and loss. And the text ends there. And that's the inside view. It's an inside view with which we can identify, perhaps by personal experience or perhaps through the lens of someone that we know, someone that we love. And even though this story sort of has a happy ending, Boaz comes to play the part of kinsman redeemer, Ruth marries Boaz, and so it goes. Even so, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, still died, and Mahlon and Chilion, Naomi's sons, still died. The inside view does not yield a story where God makes it better. It doesn't always make sense when you view your life from the inside. And your life might be like that, or someone you love might have a life like that, and it doesn't always make sense, and you can't always tell what's going on. The story doesn't always have a happy ending, because sin is really sin, and sickness is really sickness, and death is really death, and we don't know why a loving God allows such things to continue. You can't ignore the view from inside. You can't pretend it's not there or pretend it's not real. And if you would be a pastor, a shepherd of God's people, and one who cares for souls, you have to be willing to be there with people when all they can see is the view from inside, when all they have is the perspective of Naomi. And you can't judge it, and you can't deny it, and you can't pretend that you can explain it away. But it's not the only view. Not in this text, not in my life, and not in yours. It is not the only view. Because this story of Naomi is being told by someone after the fact. His voice is directing us as we hear. He knows more than Naomi may ever have realized. He gives us an outside view. It's not simplistic. It doesn't guarantee a happy ending. But listen to what he tells us. Listen, so that when those who suffer come to the place where they have ears to hear, you can tell it to them. The writer says, "Now it came about in the days when the judges were judging." The time of the judges was a time of chaos and disorder in Israel, looking back on it, a time when even the divinely appointed deliverers of God's people were confused and double-minded and inadequate. But it would not always be so. There's a view from the outside. The writer says, "A certain man from Bethlehem went to sojourn in the land of Moab." It's not enough to say it once. Let's say it again in the next verse. They were Ephrathites of Bethlehem in Judah. Why bother saying the town? Not once, but twice. No real reason, and yet. And Naomi, at the end of the chapter, returns with Ruth, the Moabitess, and she returns at the time of the barley harvest, and she goes back to Bethlehem. And there the story plays out, and we know how it goes, and we could dwell on the inside view, but let's stay with the outside perspective. In fact, let's go to the very outer frame of this little book of Ruth, because the power ultimately doesn't come from the inside view. It comes from the outside view. At the very end, Boaz and Ruth have a son, and they name him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, and Jesse is the father of David. David of Bethlehem. And it's not enough for the narrative to say it once. Just as at the beginning we have to say it twice, so we have to say it twice now also. We'll give a little genealogy just so that we can say that outside view one more time. The final verse of the book of Ruth is, "And to Obed was born Jesse, and to Jesse was born David." David the king. David, to whom God would give a promise and through whose line God would be at work in Israel. Even as the Old Testament story plays out, and according to the inside view, there is sin and rebellion and idolatry as Israel and her kings fall away from their God and death and judgment comes upon them. Even then, God is at work in Israel. That's the outside view. God is at work, not nearly always to rub away the effects of sickness and death. The inside view may very well remain a hard one, a sad one, a heartbreaking one, but it's not the only view. And that's the point. God was at work for Naomi. The God of Israel is Yahweh, the covenant God, whose name is really only understood when he comes down and rescues his people from slavery in Egypt. Yahweh is Israel's God during the period of the judges, when each man did what was right in his own eyes, and your run-of-the-mill almighty deity would have just written these people off. But God was at work in Israel, and he would give them a shepherd king who, sinner though he was, did not lead them into idolatry. David led them to the worship of the only God whose mercy is for a lifetime, even for a lifetime filled with sadness. God is at work. He has a plan, and he is carrying it out all around Naomi as the plan leads to David. God was at work in David but his work was far from finished. The promise continued to echo through the years as the fortunes of Israel waxed and mostly waned, and sadness and destruction and exile and punishment for sin gave an inside view that broke the heart of the prophets and broke the back of the nation. But still, God was at work. God's promise of a faithful shepherd king to rule over his people cannot be taken away by human sin because it is the outside view. It's God's view. And God is at work in Israel, and the promise comes true in the city of David, in Bethlehem, Ephrathah, in the land of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, when wise men came from the east. God is at work in the Son of David, in Jesus. Jesus is God's bigger picture. He is God's outside view. And in him, God is at work. He went about doing good. He healed many, for God was with him. And when he dealt with the brokenness and the sin and the pain, he did not take it all away. There are days and weeks when we wonder why and we cry out. He did not take it away. He will one day, but not yet. No, he took the evil and the sin upon himself. He entered it for us in our place, and so he knows, and he can comfort us in time of trouble. But more, the ultimate power of sin and death and sickness, their ultimate power is gone. Because of Jesus, we will not be condemned. Because of Jesus, God will always be our faithful, loving Father God. Nothing can separate us, St. Paul's outside view. And Paul knew the inside view. Just read the book of Acts. But even when the inside view is tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, the outside view is this: neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This, my friends, is truly faith. Not superficial faith, not pretend faith, and certainly not blind faith. It is faith that can see two views at the same time. O Christians, when the inside view is fearful and strong, may God give you hearts that are stronger still to cling to what is always true: Jesus Christ for you, his suffering and death for you. O pastors of Christ's flock, which he purchased with his own blood, God give to you, as pastors, wise and loving hearts to draw near to God's suffering children, to hear the cry of the heart trapped in despair, and with patient, loving wisdom to say and show the promise that no matter what may come, God in Christ is still at work. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.